American Airlines thinks jet bridges may be damaging its planes. Bombardier is still selling Q400s. And NASA challenges aircraft designers to hit 200 passenger miles per gallon. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 4th, 2009. Investigators have not yet offered an official explanation for why a Southwest 737 blew its top and suffered rapid decompression of its fuselage last month. But American Airlines has discovered tiny scratches in the fuselages of three of its planes, which exceed the depth deemed safe by the manufacturer, and has removed them from service for repairs. The Associated Press reports the airline found the damage in areas at which the planes make contact with the canopies of jet bridges. American says there was absolutely no safety concern. The airline is reportedly looking into jet bridges at specific airports, but as you might imagine, is hesitant to say which ones. Bombardier says it has received a signed order for five Q400 next-gen turboprop airliners from an airline which prefers to remain anonymous at this time. The manufacturer says the deal also includes an additional five options. That's worth $159 million U.S. at list prices, or $332 million if the orders are exercised. The aircraft has now logged 362 firm orders and 245 deliveries as of April 30th. The plane is in use by 30 operators worldwide and generally gets high marks for comfort from frequent travelers. Bombardier says the next-gen version of the Q400 features a redesigned interior with LED lighting, new ceiling panels, dished window sidewalls, larger overhead luggage bins, and active noise and vibration suppression. NASA has announced a new competition intended to draw out aircraft designs that can fly at a minimum of 100 miles per hour over a 200-mile course and achieve fuel efficiency greater than 200 passenger miles per gallon. The Green Flight Challenge is a collaboration between NASA Innovative Partnerships Program and the Comparative Aircraft Flight Efficiency Foundation. The prize for the aircraft with the best performance is $1.5 million. The competition is scheduled for July 2011 at the Charles M. Schulz Sonoma County Airport in Santa Rosa, California. To win, teams must use cutting-edge technologies in mechanical and electrical engineering, structures, aerodynamics, and thermodynamics. Competitors cannot receive any government funding for their work. NASA says a number of teams have already committed to the challenge. You can find out more at www.cafefoundation.org. Vitito Aviation says it has developed the Centurion TN-550, an upgrade for the Cessna P210 and T210. The upgrade installs a Continental IO-550, but retains the original turbocharger running through two intercoolers to provide improved power and fuel efficiency and cooler engine operation at all altitudes. Vitito says its prototype will do 208 knots true at 17,500 feet while operating lean of peak at 17.6 gallons per hour. STC approval is expected this fall. The price for the conversion has not been specified. The company also offers other upgrades for 210 owners. You can find out more, including how to follow developments on the new engine package via Facebook, at www.vitoeaviation.com. Up next on ANN, Boeing and the Navy introduced the Poseidon P-8A. Augusta Westland places more AW-139s in government service. And Eurocopter's collaboration with Korea hits a milestone on time. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 4th. I'm Paul Plack. While much of the attention was focused on Oshkosh last week, Boeing and the U.S. Navy introduced the service's newest maritime patrol and recon aircraft, the P-8A Poseidon, during a ceremony at the Boeing facility in Renton, Washington. The P-8A is a long-range anti-submarine warfare, anti-surface warfare, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft capable of broad area, maritime, and littoral operations. It's based on the timeless 737 airliner. Boeing says that compared to the P-3C Orion aircraft it replaces, the P-8A will provide greater payload, significant growth potential, unprecedented flexibility and interoperability, and advanced mission systems, software, and communications. The Navy intends to buy 117 of the craft. Formal flight testing begins later this year. Augusta Westland reports the government of Trinidad and Tobago has signed a contract to purchase 4 AW-139 medium twin-turbine helicopters. Trinidad and Tobago's Air Guard will establish a dedicated unit to use these helicopters for search and rescue, surface surveillance, law enforcement, drug interdiction, and disaster relief operations. The contract also includes extensive training and logistical support in the first 5 years. Total contract value is placed at $348 million U.S. Augusta Westland says the AW-139 is the best-selling medium twin-engine helicopter in the world. To date, almost 440 orders for the helicopter have been placed by about 120 customers in more than 40 countries for applications including EMS and SAR, law enforcement, offshore support, VIP transport, firefighting, and other roles. Eurocopter says a collaboration with Korean Aerospace Industries has resulted in the on-time rollout of the first Korean utility helicopter. The maiden flight is projected for next year, with the start of production shortly thereafter. The South Korean military wants 245 copies. The Korean utility helicopter is a military transport in the 8 metric ton class, intended to replace existing utility helicopters in the South Korean Army fleet. Eurocopter says it has a dual role in the project, developing and delivering gearboxes, rotor mast, and an autopilot for the machine, and also providing technical assistance through experts on site in Korea. Still ahead, work for Avadyne and learn to fly. Samson Motors takes its first Switchblade order. And wearing the same underwear for a month in space. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 4th. I'm Paul Plack. One of the perks that comes with a job at Avadyne is 50% reimbursement of expenses for flight training. The latest Avadyner to take advantage of that fringy is Chief Operating Officer Patrick Hergeth, who has received his private ASEL. Avadyne CEO Dan Schwinn remarks, quote, "When I started Avadyne in 1994, I wanted to create an opportunity for as many of our employees as possible to experience the utility of general aviation while working to make flying simpler and safer. We have supported a large number of employees in their primary training, CFI training, and many other types of ratings. It's exciting to come to work every day and be surrounded by a pilot-centric culture," unquote. Hergeth says he never really thought about becoming a pilot before coming to work at Avadyne. Quote, "Now I am attending my second Oshkosh show as a private pilot. Being a pilot gives me a personal connection to the products we are building and to our mission of increasing the utility of general aviation while making it simpler and safer," unquote. In answer to your next question, yes, there are two openings at Avadyne right now, both of them in sales and marketing. Among the more anticipated new projects at Oshkosh last week was the Switchblade multi-mode vehicle from Samson Motors. The company had promised a mock-up of the flying motorcycle at its booth, allowing interested attendees the chance to sit in the craft and get an idea how it might feel. Unfortunately, the mock-up was a little crude compared to the fabulous illustrations created by artists for the website, but apparently it was enough to convince one showgoer. CEO Sam Busfield recalls, quote, "Things took an unexpected jump forward for us on Monday when a man with check in hand walked into our tent, caught us completely off guard and said, 'I want to be the first person to place a deposit.' With that, we were officially in business selling airplanes," unquote. The Switchblade uses folding wings which retract into an undercarriage carrier to protect them from road debris. A version without wings is also planned for those who simply want an enclosed, two-seat, side-by-side motorcycle. First flight is targeted for about a year from now, with first customer deliveries in late 2011. Twitter is getting a lot of attention these days. The growing popularity of the mini messages has led to a recurring bit on The Tonight Show and prompted Arrow News to bring a dedicated stringer to Oshkosh just to manage our tweets. Well, now two airlines are offering tweets whenever they have some last-minute seats to fill on their flights. USA Today reports JetBlue and United are the pioneers. JetBlue calls its messages cheeps, and the first one sent on July 6th offered a $9 one-way from JFK to Nantucket. Subsequent cheaps have generally gone out on Mondays and offered 8 hours, or as long as they last, for the last-minute fares to be booked. United calls its Twitter fares twares, and they can come at any time on any day and are usually available for only 2 hours. United started its Twitter program in May. So far, Twitter is too new for marketers to have a real idea how to use it. Nice to see somebody's trying to find out. And finally, in what you might consider TMI, Japanese astronaut Koichi Wakata revealed Friday that he spent 30 of his 138 days aboard the International Space Station without changing his underwear. Now, in all fairness, these were no ordinary tighty-whities. The under ensemble was experimental antibacterial, water-absorbing garments being tested for use on manned missions to Mars, where luggage space and weight capacity will be limited and laundromats kind of tough to find. The Times of London reports the special clothing was designed by the Japanese Space Agency, JAXA, and included T-shirt, socks, long pants, and leggings. They're made of cotton and polyester with a futuristic-looking silver coating. Of his personal experiment, Wakata nonchalantly observed, quote, "I wore it for about a month, and my station crew members never complained, so I think the experiment went fine," unquote. ANN has been unable to confirm that Wakata has earned a hefty endorsement deal with Febreze. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott offers his Oshkosh recap. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.